May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It has always been a comfort to me that our Bible begins where it does. There are no tricky narrative moves here where we find ourselves plunked down in the middle of the action and only later find out what happened before. I hate that kind of book. It's not like some Joseph Conrad story where we begin sitting in a bar somewhere listening to a character tell the story of the past. Those drive me nuts. No, I like a Bible that begins where it should, at the beginning. And so, if the authors, redactors, and editors of our Bible were here, I am sure that they would be relieved to hear me say to them, "Good job." Our Bible begins at the beginning, the very beginning. So far back that all the universe is still a great seething mass of chaos. It's the time before anything is anything. In the beginning, there is no difference between light and dark, energy and entropy, matter and antimatter, being and non-being. Even Democrats and Republicans are the same. The universe is completely undifferentiated. In the beginning, everything is everything else, and even nothingness has no meaning, for something hasn't been created yet, and all is formless and void, an ocean of chaos. Well, not quite all, for in the beginning, God. In the beginning, there is one that is not everything else, one that is different from everything else and from nothing at all. In the beginning, God. Brooding over the everything, sweeping over the face of the chaos, and seeing that the everything is so undifferentiated, so unordered that it has no meaning. In the beginning, there is this chaos, which is nothing at all, and God. So God begins to create. And God's prime act of creation? Order. Differentiation. From the chaos, God separates light and darkness. From light and darkness, God builds day and night and thus creates time. And you know what happens then. Eventually, God will order the world into heaven and earth, land and sea, plants and animals, and on and on and on until creation is complete. The Bible begins, the story begins, the world begins, the universe begins, everything begins with God's Spirit meeting the waters of chaos. From water and the Spirit, God brings forth order, which is to say, everything. And standing behind that order, before that order, at the head of that order, in the beginning, God. And then, eventually, there was John. Don't you think that that's what John was reminding the people about? Don't you think that John thought that chaos was overtaking the people's lives again? A chaos of nationalism and cosmopolitanism, of greed and politics, of fear and guilt. Don't you think that John thought that the people needed a way back to their beginnings, to their home, to their God? Isn't that what John's baptism was about? Inviting the people into a life where in the beginning, God. I think so. And I think God agreed. I think that God had looked at the world and seen chaos as it was before the beginning, beginning to take over again. I think that God looked down and saw that everywhere priorities were out of order and lives were too painful and hearts were too broken. I think God saw the chaos of war and of imperial domination, of religious exclusivism and judgment, of self-centeredness and self-righteousness. I think God knew that we were trapped. And that if we were going to get back to our good beginning, back to God, then God would need to do a new thing. And I think the thing God did was to show up. No longer just brooding over the world, no longer just looking down, but suddenly in the world, swimming in the chaos with us, showing us the way through it. God tore heaven itself apart to get the message across, ripping the sky end to end, to show God's self to us, to remind us that with God as the first thing, the prime thing, we have the chance and the strength to live for a nobler and a higher future than chaos allows. When the sky ripped open that day and the grace came pouring into the world, it was the same grace that came down on the first day at the beginning. The Spirit that landed on Jesus was the same Spirit that swept across the face of the chaos and gave it order, which is to say, made it be. It's the greatest gift God gives, the ordering power of God's love. It's the same grace, the same water, the same Spirit that poured into this place today and covered Ryan with sweetness and with love. And we promised that we would tell him the stories, that we would introduce him to the ancestors, that we would make space for him to meet God, all so that he might have a way to order his life against the chaos. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but the chaos is still threatening. If you walk out the front door of this church and take a right, within 3 blocks you will pass 2 different stores designed to make you dissatisfied with your current cell phone and get you another one. You'll pass a hair salon that will charge you $100 to get a haircut, a store where you can easily spend $300 on a pair of sneakers. You'll pass a hotel that you probably can't afford, and another one where they probably won't even let the likes of you in the door. You'll pass umpteen bars and a houseware store that pretends to be there to give you what you need for your house, but is really there to convince you that your interiors are not as good as they should be. You'll pass homeless people asking for your help, and people raising money for Save the Children. You'll see people crossing the street like jerks, and people driving like jerks, and treating one another like jerks. If you're lucky, you might see an act of kindness or two, but you will pass 100 broken hearts that you don't even know are there. When you make it home, if you pick up the paper or turn on the news, you'll be reminded that Israel and Hamas are fighting again, and nobody knows who's right. That the economy is still a mess and the unemployment rate is rising, and that we're still fighting 2 wars. If you flip through the channels on your TV, you'll be able to watch conservative pundits and liberal pundits scream at each other, or watch B-list celebrities self-destruct on celebrity rehab, or watch an endless lineup of people more beautiful than you trying to make you feel bad about that. Or you can watch Jackass, or you can watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and, well, you get my point. And some will tell you that this thing is good, and some will tell you that this thing is bad, and some will tell you that this thing is good, and someone else will say that it's bad, and some will tell you that it doesn't matter at all. Friends, it's chaos out there, and if you're like me, sometimes it's chaos in here. And without a strength and a way to order your life, your priorities, your budget, your reactions, without a way to know what comes first, you can spend a whole lifetime being swept around by the chaos until you are and can accomplish nothing much at all. There's a story that's often told about Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer. Whenever he felt overwhelmed by life, when he felt despair or confusion sucking him down and away from the joy of the love of God, and he felt this way often, whenever he felt that way, he would touch his forehead where they had made the sign of the cross on him at his baptism. He would touch his forehead and he would say, "Baptismatus sum," I am baptized. I am baptized, not I have been baptized, not I was baptized. I am baptized. It was his name. It was who he was. I am baptized. It was his reminder that even as God created the universe by ordering it into being, so God was creating him by ordering his life. It was God's gift to him that took him back to the first order, to the prime order, to the primordial truth that in the beginning, God. And when God is in the beginning, all else falls into place. In the beginning, God. And then the truth that Jesus and John added, you are God's beloved. And through all that has gone wrong, all the stumblings, failings, and well-intentioned mistakes, through all the disorder and misorderings, God is well pleased with you. We baptized Ryan, and somebody baptized you, because we want him to have the gift that God gave creation, that God ripped open the heavens to give to us, bringing order out of chaos in the world. We baptized him so that one day, out there, when he has been driven into the wilderness, just as Jesus was, one day when he needs it, he can say, "I am baptized." And he can be saved. I am baptized, and a new order emerges. First God, then everything else. I am baptized, and God's order emerges. The poor are more precious than the rich. I am baptized, and suddenly my enemy is the one who most needs my love. I am baptized, and showing the beggar on the street an act of kindness is suddenly more important than making it to my meeting on time. I am baptized. Now and forever, that is my name, that is who I am. So today, because we celebrate the baptism of Jesus by water and Spirit, because today we baptized Ryan Seho by that same water and that same Spirit, and because today I want you to be reminded of who you are and the order with which God has gifted your life, I want to invite you to renew the vows of your baptism with me. Friends, will you please stand up? Now, I know that there are some of you out there who are not baptized. We want you to know that we are so glad you are with us. We want you to know that we believe God loves you and cherishes you and is pouring God's grace freely out on you right now. And we want you to participate in these vows or not as you see fit. And we want you to know that should you feel invited to baptism by what we do today, then, well, that's in the order of things as well. Let us now renew the vows of our baptism. Friends, do you believe that God created all things with a word of order and love? If so, say, "I do." Do you renounce the powers of chaos and evil, powers like empire and domination, heterosexism and hatred, self-centeredness and apathy, poverty and violence? If so, say, "I do." Do you believe that in Jesus Christ, God is right now reordering the world into a reign of love and justice? And do you wish to be a part of it? If so, say, "I do." Do you believe that God is more powerful than corporations? That God sees you as more beautiful than anyone on TV? That God can undo even what TV and the worst website you ever visited have done? If so, say, "I do." And do you promise, with grace freely flowing through you, that you will seek to live ever more fully as God's beloved, to see Christ's new creation everywhere, and to live a life ordered by mercy and charity, gentleness and justice, until you and the whole world be transformed? If so, say, "I do." Sisters and brothers, close your eyes and touch your forehead. You are baptized. The power that ordered the universe is upon you. You are baptized. The power that rent the heavens for the sake of the earth is in love with you. You are baptized here and on the street and at work and in front of your TV. You are baptized. The waters of baptism have overwhelmed you, and so chaos never will. You are baptized. It is your order and your name now and forever. Amen.